I'm swinging. WGN. 8 minutes after 2 o'clock. I'm Steve Dale. Good afternoon. We were talking to Paul Lisnick earlier. Next week on the show, exercise and fitness coach Michael Moody will be here. I mentioned Paul because his idea of being in shape is just to get up from a chair. And if he does that more than twice a day, he says, I'm in shape. But how do you get into shape, really? I mean, is that the most popular resolution this year for 2021? And what does the pandemic, if anything, have to do with resolutions? We'll talk about that. And also, I want to talk about this One Health thing. I brought that up with Dr. Anthony Fauci, and I'll explain more what that is all about. And take your phone calls about that, too. We'll take your phone calls for broadcast legend Chuck Shaden also, 312-981-7200. Chuck Shaden's Radio Days. That's the name of the book. Mr. Shaden.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Steve.
So before we talk about old-time radio and your book, I want to ask you about something else because I happen to follow you on Facebook. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot. It's unfair to do that to a broadcast legend, but I'm going to do it. So you heard perhaps my conversation, and I know you know about this because I know you know about this, my conversation with Paul Lisnick about ice cream. And you are an ice cream aficionado. No one knows more about ice cream on the planet than Chuck Shaden. So being the expert you are, and you are an ice cream fan. I mean, you celebrate your birthday with ice cream.
I celebrate everything with ice cream.
Yes, that's what it was. You celebrate Fridays. You celebrate every other Thursday. You celebrate the second of the month. Every day is a celebration with ice cream for you. So my question, banana pudding ice cream or Paul's peppermint thing, which would you prefer?
Well, since you didn't say this was an ice cream war.
It is.
Well, then I'm going to remain neutral.
No! Then I won't say that.
I like bananas.
Yes!
Woo-hoo! But I'm not that crazy about banana pudding ice cream.
I didn't hear that part.
I know you didn't.
You got to go try it.
Ice cream.
What
I
was
like
that, Chuck?
Ice cream.
Say that.
I say I like peppermint ice cream very much.
Oh.
But I'm partial to pistachio, butter pecan, and black walnut because I'm, nuts about ice cream.
You are nuts about ice cream. So you began doing this thing, and you were the first maybe to do it. Paul Lisnick even said on the air that when he was a kid, he was on your radio show, and it was a big thrill to be on your radio show. I've known you for that long as well because— To me, that's theater of the mind and all those terms, really, really true. I mean, you could actually picture what they were doing when Fibber McGee went to the closet, and everyone in their mind's eye had an idea of what that closet looked like. Now, everyone's picture was different, because you didn't see it, you imagined it. The same thing with Jack Benny's Vault. The same thing with shows like Suspense. You had to imagine, they'd walk creakily along the walkway.
You see, Steve, with those radio programs that were so prominent in the 30s, 40s, and perhaps most of the 50s, the big key to it was that the listener was a part of it. The listener participated in those shows by adding his imagination. The radio producers and the actors and the writers and the directors and the musicians and the sound effects man, they set the scene, but you actually provided the pictures. And you and I both know that your picture of Jack Benny's Maxwell was not exactly my picture of Jack Benny's Maxwell, but it didn't make a lot of difference. But when Jack Benny went to television, he rolled out a real Maxwell.
Yes.
And it wasn't anywhere near as funny as the Maxwell that we heard that was coughing and choking and sputtering and hiccuping and everything else into the listener's ear and therefore into his mind's eye. That is really, in essence, the magic of radio.
That was all Mel Blanc, wasn't it?
Mel Blanc provided that stuff.
Explain who Mel Blanc is, and then...
Well, if I told you he was the voice of Bugs Bunny on the Warner Brothers cartoons, and he did Porky Pig and all of those other Warner Brothers cartoon characters. And he did a lot of other work on radio and subsequently on television, too, a little bit. But these were all the players in the radio days. And
so
I had the privilege of broadcasting a Saturday afternoon program with the old-time radio shows for 39 years.
Yes, and I'll tell you, 39 years in this business is like 180 years in any other business. So that's quite an amazing accomplishment. But what said to you in the first place, well, this is the way I want to go. I want to broadcast these and bring back. You are the guy who brought back these old shows.
Well, I was one of the guys that brought back some of the old shows, and I was happy to do it. And I was lucky enough to have my collection of vintage programs grow and grow and grow, and along with the growth of my collection of programs that I was sharing with people over the radio, the audience for those shows grew and grew, too. And someone once said that I added a couple of decades to the golden age of radio by so doing. That makes me feel very, very good and pretty proud.
Well, I would agree with that sentiment. We'll be back with Chuck Shaden. It's 2:15 on WGN. And if you have questions, 312-981-7200, you can text or you can call this guy, Chuck Shaden, who truly loves banana pudding ice cream, clearly. I'm getting all these texts about ice cream flavors, and many of the, I don't even know if they sell these flavors or not. And apparently your black walnut there, Chuck Shaden, is very popular among those texting me. Chuck Shaden is here on WGN, legendary broadcaster. So it's an honor. It truly is an honor to talk to you. I mean, you're the one who said, these shows matter. We need not forget about whose shoulders we all stand on. And while radio is obviously very different today, if it wasn't for those guys, I don't know that I'd be here talking today. One question that I have via text is, of all of the shows that you broadcast, you're going to hate this question, but I think it's fair enough. What is your favorite?
My favorite show?
Yeah.
Jack Benny.
Why?
Why? Because it's constantly funny. It was for many years, it was the number one rated show on radio for I don't know, most of the time Jack was on the air. But that's not why I liked it. I liked it because it had all the good elements of being funny. And one can listen to a Jack Benny radio show today and enjoy it. You get to know the character that Jack Benny created for himself, a stingy guy, a skinflint, vain, and all of the gags that they wrote about Jack. Jack was the number one person on that program, but he rarely got any of the punchlines. The punchlines were always from the people who were surrounding him, Rochester and Phil Harris and Dennis Day and Don Wilson and all the other members of that illustrious Jack Benny cast over all those years. So that would be my number one choice. Number two would be Fibber McGee and Molly. And number three, probably the Lux Radio Theater, which was a dramatic anthology of radio programs based on Hollywood movies.
All right, let's go to the phones. We have a couple phone calls for you here, Chuck.
Okay.
Kate first has a question. Kate, you're on WGN.
Oh, good.
Good.
Shaden, you're really special to the world of entertainment and preservation and history. Not your body to history, but what you've done with these sacred old radio programs. Anyway, I'm calling to tell you that I'm 70 now, and I started listening to you the very first day you put your show on.
Really?
It is so
all the way
cool.
back in Evanston.
Yeah. I was a kid-ish.
Sure.
And the other thing I want to tell you is I'm a teacher also. Junior high, probably the worst group of kids, or not the worst, but the toughest group of kids to teach, and I introduced them to your radio show in the classroom. They were mesmerized. They could not believe it. And
wow.
The stories they told me from listening to the voices and to the emotions over the radio, it's just, you You're amazing, and thank
well,
God
I got,
for you.
I have to thank you, Kate, for introducing those youngsters to something they didn't otherwise have an opportunity to listen to, and they discovered a whole new use for their imagination, and I suspect and hope that it made them better students, too.
Hey, Kate, I have a question for you. What makes junior high kids the toughest group to teach?
Oh, well, they're going through that stage between I'm a kid and it's so much fun to, oh, my, everything's changing. My brain, my body, I'm kind of a teenager, but I'm really not. You know, they're in that questionable adjusting to from baby stage, not baby, but fun kid stage to adulthood. And it's
Kate,
confusing for them.
Kate,
and
it sounds a lot like me now.
That's what I always thought when I heard you, Steve.
Okay.
Always. I hear your voice and I think, confused man.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you, Kate.
Not. You're a treasure, too. And I want to talk to you about some animal stuff very soon sometime.
Anytime.
Not today, Chuck Shaden. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Kate.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. Chuck, did you ever have an opportunity to meet Jack Benny?
Yes, I did. Absolutely.
I'd only
been on the radio about 4 months, 4 or 5 months, when Jack played the Mill Run Theater in Chicago.
Oh, right.
And I got a hold of him in the afternoon before his opening night, and we sat back in the green room at the old Mill Run, and I had a real nice conversation with him, and that was a highlight of my whole broadcast career, and I'd only been on the air with this stuff for less than half a year, you know.
Well, what was he
so
like?
It was wonderful. He was very nice. He was very kind, and most people who interviewed him in those days were talking about all of his television shows and television specials and things of that nature, and I talked with him about his radio days, and he was very, very kind and remembered pretty well about those things. He told how he changed from NBC to CBS. He told about how he switched sponsors from Lucky Strike or from Jell-O to Lucky Strike. And we had a nice, great conversation. And he was among, of all the people that I've interviewed, and I've interviewed a couple of hundred people from those radio days, he was the only one that I asked for an autograph. Because I figured if I've got an interview on tape, that's better than an autograph. I've got a one-on-one with The Shadow and with the First Nighter program and with Armis Brooks and all of those people. But I did ask Jack Benny to autograph a radio guide magazine for me that I had with me.
That's the magazine you used to publish, I know.
No, that wasn't. I published the Nostalgia Digest, which still is going on,
Very good.
But this was an early radio magazine.
Okay. Ty, you're talking to Chuck Shaden.
Oh, hi. Yes.
Hello.
Hi. My name is Ty. I was trying to reminisce some of the programs you were speaking about, and some of them that I always remember were the programs never had any of the violence. They never had dirty words. They never had anything about sex. They were just wonderful programs that always had to use your mind to think of what they were thinking about. And that gave the people an opportunity to really enjoy radio without all the violence that they talk about. I remember George Burns and Gracie.
Sure.
These were all, they were all very similar. I remember morning programs when I'm 90 years old.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah, and I'm still talking. I remember early morning programs. I just don't remember the names of people. When I was a kid, I used to get up in the morning. I couldn't wait to list some of the disc jockeys or whatever they were called at that time. And they kept us awake and healthy and funny. And it was couldn't wait to get up in the morning to listen to their programs or in the evenings to listen to all these programs like The Shadow, where you had it by one of these rings. And my mother couldn't understand why I was going in the closet to look at my ring because it lit up at night.
It was a glow-in-the-dark ring.
Yeah, in the dark you used to watch these rings, or you had to decode all of this stuff. And I would walk away from home at night, and I start talking to myself, trying to figure out some of these programs. It was lovable. There isn't too much to watch on TV because so many of the programs, the movies are so violent, and they use all the four-letter words, and the comedians do the same thing. And in the old movies that you used to watch, if they were going into a room to have sex, they would close the door, it would get dark, and that was the next morning.
That's right. Ty, thank you so much for reminiscing
with
us.
You're so welcome.
Thank you
for letting me on.
Thank you, and good for you. 90 years old. He does
you know, he's,
not.
He's really right about the golden age of radio. The whole time of radio, there wasn't even the mildest of four-letter words spoken in any of those programs.
You couldn't even say you were pregnant. I mean, you couldn't. I mean, things we like. What? I mean, you couldn't say those things back then.
Well, they didn't need to say those things. And you talk about violence. They had a lot of mystery programs and horror programs on radio that were kind of violent, but they were only as graphic as you could stand. You see, there might be two shots fired, and you hear a sound effects of a body falling to a floor. Got him, he'd say. And you could decide for yourself whether you wanted to see, blood flowing from that body that was just shot or not.
Yeah.
It was, you know, if there was a car crash, you could decide whether it was a total wreck or it just smashed his fender into the corner of a pillar on the road. So you had some control over that, too. But it was all perfect for that period of time. And somewhere along the way, after the golden days of radio came along, and graphically, now they're producing that stuff. And at that point, I'm saying, they produce those graphics for you. The imagination that you brought to radio was gone, and you had to watch on the television screen the imagination of the production company that was putting the show on. So, you know, when we saw a beautiful heroine on a radio show, in our imagination, she was as soft and as blonde and as beautiful as we could possibly make her. Didn't matter what she really looked like. But now when you see the heroine on a television show, it may be as blonde or as beautiful as the casting director wanted her to be. So the element of participation is different. In other words, for radio, we were a participant, and in television, as in the movies, we are a spectator.
Well, and we mentioned the interview with Jack Benny. You interviewed so many more people. You detail a lot of those in the book, Chuck Shaden's Radio Days. Chuck, where can people get the book?
Everything is available on my website, speakingofradio.com. That's where you can get information on obtaining my book. I have an archive in there of hundreds of my original four-hour Saturday afternoon broadcasts. All of the interviews that I did are posted in there with the date of the interview and along with an interview. For example, you go to the interview for Jack Benny, and you'll also get a Jack Benny program to listen to with that. You go to the interview with Brett Morrison, who played The Shadow. You can hear our conversation, and then you can listen to a Shadow broadcast, and so forth and so on. So it's all at speakingofradio.com. And that's where you can get my book, Chuck Shaden's Radio Days.
Chuck Shaden, you know it's always my pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so very much.